Today's lesson is a continuation of the origin of evil. In that message, we talked about how evil was a result of something being missing. And that something is good. When goodness is missing, evil results. And we had mentioned that just as when heat is missing, cold results. And when light is missing, darkness results. And so darkness, cold, and evil in and of itself cannot exist unless something is missing. Evil, as it pertains to human beings, is a result of a decision not to abide in goodness. And Jesus made it clear, there's only one good, Father in heaven. So when humanity acts as though God doesn't matter or acts as though God doesn't exist, evil results. So it's another way of saying that evil is a result of choice, a bad choice, a choice not to remain under God's wisdom and providence. So today we're going to dive deeper into the choice made by Adam and Eve. Amen? Okay. So the topic for today is fairness of God and the curse. I heard someone ask, it wasn't fair for all of us to be guilty of sin because of Adam. It's not fair that all of us have the condition of sin upon us because of Adam. I just need to clear something up on that statement. The curse was not that sin will be the condition of humanity for generation and generation and generation. That was not the curse. The curse was that the woman would have painful childbirth and a broken relationship with her husband, and that the man would have to work and that the ground would be fighting against him. The curse was not that sin has fallen upon all humanity. So we need to put that in perspective. God didn't just say, okay, I'm gonna punish you for that. So today we are going to just look at the fairness of God and the curse, and then we're going to see how sin factors into that. As we said, as a result of Adam and Eve's choice in a particular area of their life, albeit momentarily, the choice to live as though God didn't matter, ate of the forbidden fruit, evil entered into human nature as an irresistible option. Evil entered into Adam and Eve as an irresistible option. So when they made that choice to live as though God didn't matter, that's how evil came into the world. Remember that evil is the result of something being missing. And for that matter, evil entered into all of human existence because Adam and Eve, their nature was of innocence. They were just created. Their nature was not like our nature. Their nature was in a stage of innocence. That disobedience impacted their nature in a way that made it permanent. It's one of the reasons why they had to be put out of the garden. And then with the curse, we have humans as they exist today. With this sin-impacted nature and this curse outside of the garden of God. Now, the Bible leaves us to speculate how evil actually impacted human biology and is passed down to children. It's kind of silent on that. It leaves us to speculate. But the Bible clearly lets us know that that is the condition of humanity as a result of Adam and Eve. So the question was it fair to curse Adam and Eve and all of humanity permanently? That's the question we're going to deal with. And to begin with, we're going to read Genesis 3, 16 through 20. So if you'll turn your Bibles to Genesis 3, 16, we'll read all the way through 20. And it begins like this. To the woman, he said, I will make your pains in childbearing very severe. With painful labor, you will give birth to children. And this is the other part of the curse. People ignore this part. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. So the woman will have a passionate emotional desire towards her husband, but the husband's response is simply to be, to rule over. In other words, stern, flat, broken relationship, male, female. To Adam, he said, because you listened to your wife and ate fruit from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. See, before it was a stage of innocence, they weren't destined to return to the ground before the fall. After the curse, they're destined to return to the ground. That's what I meant by Adam and Eve's nature is different than what our nature was. So their nature could be impacted by sin in a way that made it permanent. How? The Bible is silent on that. You return to the ground, since from it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you will return. Adam named his wife Eve because she would become the mother of all the living. So that condition upon Eve, and condition on Adam for that matter, made them the progenitor of the human race. There's a whole lot of controversy about that, where other people come from, where the wives of Seth and Abel and Cain come from. That's a whole other topic. But let it suffice to say that from God's perspective, Eve's condition was going to be indicative of what all humanity is going to be. So that question, was it fair to curse Adam and Eve and all of humanity permanently? Now, it depends on from what perspective you're coming from when you ask that question. If you're asking the question from a situation of life where lying, cheating, sexual immorality, gossip, slander, and hatred are commonplace, if not being guilty of it itself, then it probably does feel unfair. And I say that because if disobeying God is commonplace and it's acceptable and people are doing it and getting away with it, then, yeah, to curse or punish someone probably does seem unfair because you don't see anybody being cursed or punished for all the sin that's around us. That's commonplace. If you come from that position, yeah, it would seem unfair. But when asking the question from a situation of life where your most treasured creation that you had taught, that you had given purpose to, and you had worn, flat out dissed you, but you love them too much to kill them and start over, then to have only cursed them for his disobedience is actually merciful. God made Adam with his hands. God got personal in creating man. We are his most treasured creation. He made us in his image, and he taught us. He told Adam what to do. He gave him purpose to name the animals, to take care of the garden. And he warned them not to eat of the forbidden fruit. But man straight up acted as though God didn't matter and just dissed them. But God loved Adam too much to say, okay, this human creature messed up. Let me scrap him and start over. God loved Adam too much to do that. So to just curse him was disobedience. That's more merciful. So it depends on what point of view you're coming from, determine whether you view it as being unfair or view it as being merciful. So in order to better understand whether God was unfair or merciful, it helps for us to understand more about the details that were associated with the fall. Too often, we skim through the account of Adam and Eve and the fall because we think we already understand what happens. But when we rightly divide the account and see what's truly there, then I think we come up with a clearer understanding. So let us look at the fact that Adam and Eve were created as free moral agents. They were free to choose what they were going to obey or who they were going to obey. Now, Adam and Eve weren't drones that only did what God told them. That's what drones do. Drones have a command. Drones have a mission. Drones just continue to carry out what it is that they were designed or purposed to do. Now, you know what a drone is? Fly a drone? A drone is a soldier? So a drone is just like a robot. It's got a command, it's going to follow it. Can't think for itself. It just does what it was commanded to do or created to do. Now, if Adam and Eve, if they were like that, God would not have asked Adam to name the animals. God would have had to come up with names himself. If you turn to Genesis 2, 19 through 20, we'll see that God, he said he wanted to just see what names Adam would come up with. See, drones only do what you tell them to do. But Adam was free to choose how to name them. Someone read that, please.
Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the wild animals and all the birds in the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name.
Okay, so what the scripture is telling us, that Adam was free to come up with names. So he wasn't a drone. Okay. Also, if Adam and Eve were drones, God would not have told Adam not to eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, because drones do not choose on their own accord. Drone just does what it's been programmed to do, what it's conditioned to do. You wouldn't have to say, don't eat that. You only give a command to someone that can choose. Like your children, you tell them not to do something, you tell them that because they can choose. Now, you wouldn't tell the tree in your front yard not to get some apples from the refrigerator. You wouldn't tell the plant in your house not to run upstairs, because they can't help but to be what they are. They don't choose. We see that a little bit more in Genesis 2, 16. 17. Darlene, could you read that? Genesis 2, 16 and 17.
And the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will surely die.
Okay. So Adam could choose whatever tree he wanted to eat from. There was no particular tree that the drone was supposed to go to get the nourishment. Well, not necessarily nourishment, to eat it for whatever reason they eat it. Also, if Adam and Eve were drones, the serpent wouldn't have been able to convince them to disobey God. The serpent wouldn't have been able to alter the drone commands that Adam and Eve would have received. They were drones. How would Satan be able to alter their command? Did God command them not to eat from it? How would Satan be able to alter a drone's command? He wouldn't. The fact that they could be convinced is because they had a choice and they could choose. So by eating from the forbidden tree, Adam and Eve, if only for a fleeting moment, used their freedom to think and to act as though God didn't matter. They used their freedom to think or act as though there was no God. And see, that created this void where evil resulted. Remember, evil results when good is missing. But Adam and Eve used their freedom to choose to act as though God didn't matter, and the results was evil became a part of human nature in the form of sin. Any questions so far? You see where I'm going with this? before they ate of the forbidden fruit, Adam and Eve chose to live within the wisdom and the providence of God. What do I mean by that? When they chose to live within the wisdom and the providence of God. Exactly. They did what God told them. They tended to the garden. And they communicated with God, stayed in sync and in step with God. And providential care is that they simply found fulfillment in God's provisions. So before eating the forbidden fruit, everything was smooth, was consistent. They were in harmony with God. Life within God's wisdom and life within God's providence had no negative consequences. So God said, take care of the garden. They took care of the garden. Eve was the man's helpmeet. She helped them. There was no negative consequences. When they stayed within God's care, there were no negative consequences. That's what we have to remember. Negative consequences did not exist when they freely chose within God's providence. So they had freedom, but they were free to choose within God's providence and according to God's wisdom, or not to. We saw they chose not to, but there were options. Like he said, you could eat of any tree except for that one. So there were several different kinds of trees, and they could choose which one they want to eat of. So they were free, and that's what we have to remember. The freedom that they had within God's wisdom and God's providence had no negative consequences. That's key. Because, remember in the lesson on the origin of evil, because all that God had made was good. We went through those verses in Genesis 1, and after he created something, he said, God said it was good. It was good. It was good. It was good. So there were no negative consequences when they freely chose the options within God's wisdom and God's providential care. Though they were free to choose, none of the options within God's providential care came with negative consequences. To help you understand this, it's like winning your choice of a new car. You go into the dealership, and it feels like you can't make the wrong choice. And that's what it was like for Adam and Eve. They couldn't make a wrong choice. There were no negative consequences and choosing within God's providential care. So they weren't drones. God provided for them. They're free to choose and show how much freedom they had. God allowed them to be able to freely choose to disobey. So we know they weren't drones. So under God's wisdom and providence, Adam and Eve would have never known evil. Under God's regardless of what choice they made, they would never known evil. Now, dealership don't make any difference what car you pick. You had to pay for it. You had to earn the money. It was no evil. However, Adam and Eve chose not to remain under God's providential care. And as a result, the curse was an inseparable part or portion that came with Adam and Eve's choice. See, sin and the curse were an inseparable part of Adam and Eve's choice. In other words, it was their choice that resulted in negative consequences. It was their choice that evil in the form of sin entered into the human race. It wasn't God. It wasn't God punishing them. It wasn't God casting stuff on them. God had warned them. And that's what we have to remember. Oftentimes we ask, was it God being fair? But it was the choice that brought it in. I hope what Scripture has revealed will help us understand and see that clearly. And hear me out. The use of their freedom to choose outside of God's wisdom and providence exposed them to the awareness of evil. The Bible gives us a glimpse of this. If you read Genesis 3, the first part of verse 7 helps us see how they were exposed to the awareness of evil. The verse states that their eyes were open. All of their choices under God's wisdom, under God's providential care, never exposed them to that. Their eyes were open because now they see something they've never seen before. For the first time, they experience life in another dimension, the evil. What a body impacted by sin sees. They never saw that. You know, I would imagine, I wasn't there, that both of them were naked and it didn't bother them. When their body was impacted by sin, now what they see and what they look at when they look at each other, it hits them differently. Their perception is different. See, for us, it was always like that. We always gonna put clothes on, and so we don't know how it is to be like animals who run and frolic and have no clothes. They begin to see things like a life form that's been impacted by sin. They never saw things like that before. So for the first time, they begin to experience shame. Turn to Genesis 3:7. The second part, we read the first part. Let's read Genesis 7.
And the eyes of both of them were open, and they realized that they were naked.
See, shame. They never experienced shame. They saw things that they never saw when they lived within God's wisdom and his providential care. And one of the things were shame. Shame is a negative consequence. You see, there weren't any negative consequences when they lived under God's wisdom and providential care. So they began to experience shame. That's a new dimension. It was never there before. Verse 8, they began to experience something there. Read that.
Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden.
Okay. Guilt. Guilt was a negative consequence as a result of not remaining under God's wisdom and God's providential care. That's a negative consequence. They didn't experience that before. So they began to see and experience a new whole new dimension. Their eyes were open to something they never saw before. Previously, all they saw was helpful, beneficial consequences of their choices when they operated under God's wisdom and God's providential care. Once their humanity got impacted by evil in the form of sin, we got shame, we got guilt. And in verse 10, we have another one. What was that?
He answered, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid.
Fear enters in. In that verse, we got shame and fear. Fear enters in. They didn't experience fear. That's what I mean. When we rightly divide the word, we see that it was their choice that resulted in being impacted. I mean, we can't make a bad choice and there be no negative consequences. I mean, there's no such thing as that. People want that. Let's look at verse 12. Someone read verse 12.
The man said, the woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree and I ate it.
Blame. He blaming his wife. So we got shame, guilt, fear, and blame enter into the world, into their human experience they'd never experienced before. So when it said their eyes were open, they began to see each other and see life and understand things from the perspective that's outside of God's wisdom and God's providential care. They were exposed to the awareness of evil. That's why it's the tree of knowledge and good and evil. It should be no surprise to any of us that being free to choose comes with a high price when we make bad choices. There's always going to be consequences. There is no such thing as me being able to freely do as I please and there be no consequences for any of my decisions. Adolf Hitler tried that. So consequences are real. When you have the freedom to choose knowing good and evil, then that is to know consequences. You know, to know good and evil is to know consequences. Before, Adam and Eve didn't know good consequences, bad consequences. In a very real sense, the tree of knowledge of good and evil was a tree of consequences. In a very real sense, the eyes were open. They got to see negative consequences. So God's curse upon Adam and Eve was consistent with the choices that they had already made. It wasn't that he just arbitrarily punished them. The curse, listen to this, the curse was not a reflection of God's heart towards Adam and Eve. The curse merely reflected Adam and Eve's choice. I think people miss that. With every wrong choice, there are going to be consequences. When I discipline my children, I'm not happy about doing it. I feel bad about denying certain privileges. I feel bad about spanking them sometimes. I feel bad about it, but they have to know that there are consequences for certain things. So me disciplining them doesn't reflect my heart, but it reflects their choice that they made. So it's not an indictment on God, it's more of an indictment on Adam and Eve. If you ask the wrong question, you always get the wrong answer. The question is not, was it fair for God to curse Adam and Eve? The question should be, on what basis should Adam and Eve have not suffered the consequences for their choice? Especially after God had warned them that there would be consequences. Where did God warn them? Go back to Genesis 2:17. God said, "But you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die." And now, in that curse that we read in verse 3, and if you go all the way to verse 19, he said, told the man, "By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground." See, until you return to the ground. Prior to that, they weren't going to return to the ground. So God had warned them that this is the consequence, and they did it. So when you see that, when you have that understanding, you have to ask yourself, God treasured them, God loved them, God admired them, God taught them, God gave them a purpose, and God warned them, and they still made the decision as if God doesn't matter. God had every reason to kill them and start over. But he chose to what? Just give them the consequences that he said in advance were going to happen. So actually, to just curse them, to just give them the consequence that he had warned them, that's merciful. Death had not been a part of the human experience prior to the fall of Adam and Eve. And God had warned Adam and Eve that there would be consequences. Sin became a part of human nature. Sin is simply missing the mark, disobeying God, acting as though God doesn't exist, acting as though God doesn't matter. From the time of Adam and Eve until now, sin continues to be an irresistible part of human nature. Scripture gives us a hint about this. We already read in Genesis 2:20 where it says that Adam named his wife Eve because she would become the mother of all the living. That was after the curse. Her condition is going to be the condition that's going to be indicative of all the living. And if we were honest, we would have to confess our desires to do and indulge what God has already revealed in Scripture as sin. The things that God said not to do, and we have a desire to do it. We know that that's part of our nature because we have that desire. If a camera was on us 24/7, recording our thoughts and our deeds, you have to say, yes, sin is the condition upon me and everyone else. Adam and Eve allowed sin to impact human nature, and Adam and Eve were warned not to eat of the forbidden tree, and they did it anyway. God had warned them that they would surely die when that happened, and God just made good on his promise. So I have to ask you, is God fair or unfair? Exactly. He warned them. He warned them.